from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitine.
Happy Monday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Yes, we have a show for you today. Question: how are you doing this morning? We'll be sharing our hearts and thoughts with you about the protests and the violence that we saw over the weekend. We want to share yours as well. So we'll open up the phone lines at 10 o'clock with a very specific question. We'll also talk to someone who was there in downtown Seattle when the chaos erupted and share something remarkable that he did. That'll happen at 9:33. And speaking of remarkable, Bellevue's police chief making national headlines for something that he did. He'll join the show at 11 o'clock. But right now, let's get to the show. Ursula, good morning to you.
Good morning, G.
You know, I got to tell you, there's a lot of things that I did not say over the weekend. I did not do my coffee with G like I do on Facebook Live in the morning times because I wanted to share all those things on the show. So I was like, I don't want to say those things right now. But at the same time, how are you doing this morning?
I woke up today like I woke up yesterday feeling a whole mix of emotions, most of it sadness and heartbreak, at moments despair, but also moments of feeling challenged, feeling like, what is it that we can do right now to make that change so it's not all in vain? I woke up thinking a week ago today, George Floyd died. With the officer's knee, you know, pressing down on his neck, the thing that we saw that was so horrific. Mm-hmm. And the world feels like it has changed. It has almost fallen off its axis. I mean, it feels like we have just gone from bad to worse.
Right.
But my natural reaction is, okay, always looking for the positive, always looking for the positive. There has to be something that each and every one of us can do. And that is what, you know, I hope we can focus on in the days ahead.
I woke up this morning encouraged. And that's my message that I have to. I'm very transparent on our show, Ursula.
You are.
And I always tell how I feel. And I woke up this morning encouraged. And here's why. Yes, America was literally on fire. Yes, is discouraging to see. Yes, there's a lot of hurt and anger that has transpired over the last week, but there's been a lot of hurt that has been going on for a very long time, right? And a lot of hurt that has kind of been swept up under the rug, or a lot of hurt where somebody says, why you got to make it about race? And a lot of hurt to where somebody be like, well, you're being a race baiter. So there's been a lot of built up frustration. But I am encouraged, and here's why, Ursula. I'm encouraged because of so many people have been reaching out to me all week and this weekend, and you can see, no, racism isn't solved today. Everything isn't. It's not over, right? But the conversation is more so. Like, the conversations are being had. People are reaching out and are talking or admitting some of these things. There's going to be progress. And the goal has to be, it has to be progress. And over the show, you and I are going to talk about what that's like. But I know probably there are some that didn't expect for me to say that. And yes, I had some tears this weekend. As a matter of fact, this week on the show, both you and I, Ursula, mm-hmm. we had tears on the show where we broke down. So you can imagine the kind of tears and the kind of frustration that I had this weekend.
Well, and speaking of this weekend, I know that you spent some time with your boys. What did you talk about? I mean, what? How do you explain to your boys what is happening and what should they come away with as they see what is happening around the world? And I say around the world because these protests didn't just happen in the U.S. I mean, they did spread around the world.
I told them that they have to be prepared for the long haul. And I told them it's going to be hit their generation that is going to be better about mobilizing, better about using voices. See, for so many years, like, let's just go back to last 30, right? Let's go back to Rodney King when we all visualized and we saw that happen and that resulted in the L.A. riots. And then we know how we've had riots since then. We've had Ferguson. We've had different things that has happened. And if this one, this riot right here that was going across the country, this was absolutely terrible. But now when I say terrible, I'm talking about the vandalizing. I'm not talking about the protests, which is 98% of a lot of people being out there being peaceful. But what I'm saying is to them is it's really a frustrating time. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of hurt that is happening. But I need to, but I need them to know. And you ask me, what do I tell them? I tell them to, when they have the ability to mobilize, what I mean by that is they're very good with the social media. They're very good. They're very active on those things. And so a lot of things that they can talk about, I mean, they can make all of these people famous real fast. I mean, all of these influencers real fast. There could be a social media influencer, Ursula, that can go from one follower to a 10 million followers overnight because of these youngsters, if they believe in what, whoever that social media influencer is. And so what I did was I gave an analogy, and Ursula, I hate to bore you to death, but I have to tell you what I told them. Right now reminds me of when my father passed away. And when I lost my dad, Ursula, it was like, wow, everybody was like, oh, we're sorry to hear that. You know, sorry to hear that your father died. And the conversation was all about my dad and people reaching out to me. And then something happened. And of course, like, I've never lost a parent before, so I never experienced it before. But after, it was after that people stopped calling. People didn't show. And so I kind of felt deep inside like, wow, everybody goes back on with their life. But I still have to deal with my father passing away. My point to that is this. That's how I feel about all of this going on. Yes, all of this is conversation and everybody's talking and how can we get things better and things are going to come calm down. And then here pretty soon as we move on, black people are still black, right? There's still things that are going to continue to happen. And so we have to continue talking and having these conversations. So that's what I share with my son.
And when you looked at the looting and the rioting, in your mind, were you feeling like, you know, that is co-opting the message? That is, how did you feel about that?
Well, I was able to separate it, right? 98% of people that went out there to go and protest and peaceful protests and march in the streets. And I had my little cousin who she was out there in the streets, and I've had loved ones that was out there. And those that are listening right now, if you're out there, thank you for your voice. Thank you for those out there making their voices being heard. I thought that was important. I thought that had to be. And then you had the looting, the destruction, the fires and all those things. And so I was able to take those things and say, okay, hold up. Yo, I don't like that. In those, there's two types of people. In the people that do the violence in the rioting, there are those that are hurt, and then those that are making this as a self-fulfilled opportunity to take advantage of the moment. A bunch of selfish people that are being out there. A bunch of people that don't understand that when you come into these neighborhoods and you burn down that grocery store, well, guess what? Somebody's grandma ain't going to be able to go to the local store anymore because that store burned down. And if you want to talk about history, you look about history. What happens to stores in neighborhoods that are low income neighborhoods? How long does it take for that neighborhood to get that grocery store back?
That's right.
Well, I'm gonna tell you right now, Ursula, those grocery stores don't come back right away. And people that live in those neighborhoods, a lot of times, most of the time, they know that, right? These businesses that people are going in and looting them. I will never, never condone that. I will never condone being angry and going to rob someone else. And I don't think anybody else should.
That was what was so frustrating last night. It's there. The vast majority were protesting peacefully, but it took, several dozen opportunistic criminals to completely remove the focus from what was right into it was all about the looting and the rioting and the fires and the and there are hard questions that need to be asked. You know, were police prepared? Who was behind it? There's going to be a lot of discussion about Antifa and, you know, this extremist group, and this was a left thing and this was a right thing. And those are not going to be constructive only. We have to look and see, you know, what can we do differently? Who needs to be held responsible for the violence and the damage? But do not let that remove your focus on what needs to change. What needs to change after 400 years where we've made some progress, but then we've taken some steps back. And the term systematic racism comes up. And there is no way in hell that we're going to ever improve what we're doing and change what's happening and not have this happen over and over and over again until we can understand that systemic racism does exist.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Ursula. There's a lot of people who were denying it. People in powerful places that have been denying this for years. Right? I'll give you an example of and just a clear-cut example of how deep-rooted racism can be. I have to say, this George Floyd situation is probably the first situation that we have seen on camera that I believe that the majority of America agrees, yay, that was murder. Would you agree with that, Ursula?
Yes.
Racism is so deep-rooted that it took 4 days for a decision to be made to arrest that officer. Now let me back that up again. Why would it take so long to arrest this officer? Oh, and as a matter of fact, it's so deep rooted that the three other officers that were there still haven't been charged. If both of my sons were in a vehicle and their friends went to go and rob a house, even though my sons did not go rob the house, my sons would be complicit in that robbery, right?
Yes.
So why are we in a situation where it is taking so long? So I'm just giving you an example.
Exactly. I can explain some of that too, G, because okay. I did hear from the Minnesota State Attorney General who has now taken over the case. And he has explained that without giving too many details, he says, yes, but they have to line up everything so that when this trial does happen, they want to do it right. I mean, the county level attorney kind of bungled it when he said initially there might not be evidence for a criminal charge. And then that was changed. And then now this officer has been charged. Now, many people are upset that he has only been charged with third degree murder when it was so blatant. There are even so many cops who are saying what those other ones did is also a crime because they stood by. And that is equally as upsetting. So the problem now is you want to make sure that you have all your ducks in a row so that they do actually get convicted. Because how many times have cops been charged and not been convicted? So that is one of the answers. But I know that so much of the anger that has been fueled right now is because people have not seen that these three other cops are being held accountable. Right. But back to our talk about systemic racism. Again, you first have to acknowledge that is a problem. There was a White House advisor who spoke with CNN over the weekend, and he said he doesn't believe it exists. I had conversations this weekend with people who I love and trust and respect, and they were saying, I don't see evidence. I don't see the data that supports that. What more do you need to see when you see it over and over and over again? I mean, even if you don't have data, which, frankly, is widely available, look at what is happening. Listen to people of color who tell you, this is my experience. Listen to you. Listen to what you have to talk to your sons about. Listen to what you have to worry every day when you wake up. Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina is the only black Republican in the Senate. He spoke this morning. I heard him and I thought exactly what he says is exactly what we need to focus on.
Mr. Floyd is dead because an officer murdered him. Mr. Arbery is dead because two guys in a pickup truck shot him in the middle of the street at 1 p.m. For someone to suggest that there aren't racial challenges and patterns is for someone to be blind. And so we cannot deny the truth, but we, at the same time, I just said this recently, there's about 340,999,000 other Americans that we can all work together to do so. The fact that one person doesn't see it the way that it should be seen, that is clear and evident for me when I walk into the Capitol and I'm stopped, even with my Senate pin on, because I'm an African-American, they didn't believe my pin was mine. I get it, but I'm not going to focus my attention in the midst of this challenge on one individual who got it wrong. I want to focus my attention on folks like John Lewis, that peaceful protesting led to systemic change in our nation. If all we do is celebrate the negative, and frankly, I know it sells better, we'll miss the very important point. The essence of the point is every single American wants to understand their own intrinsic value and want to allow that to be expressed publicly. When you can't go for a jog as an African-American man, that questions whether or not your intrinsic value is on par with every other American. So we need to wrestle with these very significant issues. For those who believe that racism is dead and gone and that 99.9% of any group is pure, they're just living in a different universe.
And I need to make a quick correction that Maxine Waters and Cory Booker are two others. So we have three black Republicans members in the Senate. Only black Republican is Senator Tim Scott. But his point being, we have to ask ourselves every day, what is it that we are going to choose to focus on?
Progress, conversation, right? Because I started off the show, Ursula, by saying and letting you know what I told my sons is that this we're going to be in this for the long haul. There's going to be two steps forward and there'll probably be one step back. You have to have realistic expectations. But the one thing that we have to continue with is we have to continue with the conversation. We have to continue with the overhaul of the rules and systems that are in place to continue with the systemic racism and
to continue for years, fighting it. Obviously.
For years, Ursula, for the last few years, the conversation of Black Lives Matter. And that's been a sore point. There's been a sore topic for some. Some couldn't understand what was meant by that. And so the rebuttal to Black Lives Matter was always all lives matter. Well, yes, we know that. We know that all lives matter. But if you're in your neighborhood and all of a sudden there is a house that is on fire, when you call the fire trucks, when you call the 911, what are you going to say? You're going to say there's a fire in your neighborhood. And when they come and they're going to say, where's the fire? You're going to say, there's a fire right there. But you're not going to pull that time and say, hey, all of our houses matter. No, at this time, right now, that house right there matters. So we'll continue to have this conversation. And up next, we're going to have Antoine Fellows. He's a local here in Seattle. And he was there downtown for the protest. He saw everything that happened down there. Find out what he did because of his heart. We do that next. This is the Gene Ursula Show.
Thank you for listening to the Gene Ursula Show. As we look for ways to change, this is a time of self-reflection. And as we were discussing this morning, there have been times when G and I have been quiet. We've said nothing when we witnessed or have faced racism. And coming up in about 10 minutes, we're going to tell you what made us stay silent, why we believe we were the problem, and why that needs to change. But right now, we also want to focus on some of the things that went right over the weekend. And after those two straight nights of chaos and destruction in downtown Seattle, there were hundreds of people who showed up yesterday morning with brooms and paint and garbage bags, and they were there to clean up the damage that had been done by the vandals.
I was here yesterday and saw a lot of really great protests happening. I thought the march down I-5 was unbelievably powerful and peaceful. We also saw some destruction happening, and I think this is part of restoring Seattle and restoring our faith in our community. And so that's why we came down.
Bellevue Police Chief Steve Milette is in the news today because he did something extraordinary. He joined hundreds of protesters in the middle of the street yesterday. He got down on one knee and he shared his heart.
What happened to George Floyd was wrong. It was a crime. The officers that were involved need to go to prison.
Yes.
For justice for George Floyd,
yes,
and the entire African American community.
Yes. Right?
We're with you.
Yes.
We are with you. We are not against you. I'm telling you, the vast majority of law enforcement, and I can tell you 100% here in Bellevue, when we saw it, we condemned the behavior. We make sure that that is never going to happen here. We embrace all of you.
He even gave his personal cell phone number to some of those protesters so they could continue that conversation. And he is going to be joining us live in the 11 o'clock hour as we continue our conversation, which is, where do we go from here?
Well, joining the Gene Ursula show right now is someone who was down there for the peaceful protests and got to see everything that happened downtown. He joins us right now. Antoine Fellows, thank you so much for joining the show, Antoine.
Hey, top of the morning, y'all. Top of the morning, Gene Ursula. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, let's get to it. Why did you decide to go down and protest anyways, Antoine?
Man, G, hearts is heavy around America. It's everywhere. We've all felt this pandemic of the whole coronavirus thing. But now, people got this whole injury.
We are having some difficulty with your cell phone. Yeah. Keep going, Antoine.
No, we probably lost him right there, Ursula.
Okay, so what did he tell you? Because you were moved by what he had said.
Yeah, I was definitely moved by what he said. And he went down there. His plan was to go down there and be a part of the peaceful protest and everything. And he saw some, you know, there were people kind of in cars that were kind of trying to get around and get away and everything like that.
Actually, gee, I think he's joined us again. Antoine, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Yes. So go ahead. You're telling us why you decided to go down for the protest, Antoine.
Yeah, just to ventilate, man, and be supportive, especially men in the community that support Andre Taylor, Shekundi Salisbury, running for 37th District of Seattle. Myself, just as a barber, you know, and having an outlet to so many people that I deal with, like, I feel we're all essential to somebody, regardless of what the governor or president had to say. My heart was heavy, and I just, right here in Seattle, King County Pew took a lot of losses. You know, I lost an auntie, a young fella, car accident, shooting. These are people I've known personally, seen, or have interaction or conversation with, you know, on top of the police brutality that I've witnessed just in my own city, man, you know, the Northwest, period. I mean, there's no secret, you know what I mean? So my heart would be bent and support.
So tell us what you saw when you were downtown this weekend.
Okay, we are continuing to have issues with his cell phone, so it must be just a bad self service where you are. So, what did Antoine end up doing?
He handed out $20 bills. He had a pocket full of money, and he handed out money to some of those that were in their vehicles and in their cars, and he just told them, hey, you know what, I don't know if you're going to be able to move your car or anything like that, but if this helps maybe kind of get home and everything, if you want to, you know, do that, here's some money. And he said, man, he felt it on his heart. He felt the emotion. He felt the peace of the people that were down in the community, and it was great up until – you know, a little bit later on when it kind of started to get a little some unwanted folks that were kind of doing some of the wrong things. But before that, it was so many of the right things that were happening. It was so much encouragement. And the good news about what was happening downtown and across the country is this. And I mean, you see on that, and I know the focus is on a lot of things that are burning, but the focus is, and I do agree, 98% were doing the right thing, and down there trying to do the right thing. And the, what was beautiful about that, it wasn't just black people. It was a lot of white people. It was a lot of all people down there that were down there for support, down there for peaceful and silent protest. And that was the beauty in it all. And that's what Antoine was a part of, Ursula.
Okay. And I'm sorry that we couldn't hear from him. We were having too many technical problems. No. But I do want to ask you this. Does it matter as far as the looters and the people who were causing the destruction and diverting the attention, does it matter who they are or what color they are? Because I bring this up because of something that Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin said.
Much of the violence and destruction, both here in Seattle and across the country, has been instigated and perpetuated not by the people most impacted by generations of discrimination and institutional racism, but by young white men. These were not the acts of allies. These were the acts of people who came with their own intentions to destroy, to injure, and to cause chaos.
Did you think that was helpful?
No, I didn't. Here's why. Here's why I did not think that that statement was helpful. I did like it up to a point when she said that those impacted by years, you know what I mean, of institutional racism. People that are coming to these communities, a lot of these folks didn't even live in these areas. My little cousin who was out there in Minneapolis in there, she was like, the people that were coming in, they weren't from around there. Right. So when you look on there, you saw, yes, you did see a lot of white people that was destructive. You would see the spray painting of BLM on things. Right. And you would see people having a conversation, and the conversation sounds like this. Well, if I can't believe that they are doing this to their neighborhood, if they want change, why are they doing that? Well, the question should be, who is they? That's where the conversation is. Who is they? And somebody says, well, it's Antifa and it's these folks. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of groups around the country that are responsible for the looting and the destruction that happened. A lot of groups, some of them don't even have a name. Somebody's just Joe Schmo that shows up and wants to cause destruction. Right. So that is where the conversation needs to be on the people that are actually out there doing it. And it's hard to say who those groups are, Ursula.
Well, and what it does is it removes us from asking what is it that we can do ourselves, because now we're putting our focus on who can we blame. And I think the mayor had good intentions, but I think what she ended up doing in saying that really it ended up being more divisive. And if there's anything that we don't need is another reason to be more divisive. So maybe her intent was good, but I think the overall effect was not.
We share a story, Ursula, of the moment where we kept quiet. You have one where you in a situation where you kept quiet and maybe you should have said something?
Oh, yeah. Many.
Well, I have one. I have many as well. But I have one that to this day, it bothers me that I never said anything. We'll talk about that. We'll tell you what that is next. It's the Gene Ursula Show. Welcome back into the Gene Ursula Show. Coming up at 10 o'clock, we're going to open up the phone lines. Yes, we are. How have you experienced racism? Did you speak up or did you stay silent? 888-973-5476. 888-973-5476. Cairo, we will love to hear from our listeners. Ursula?
Well, yes. I mean, you're going to ask me, have I ever stayed silent?
Yes. I'm curious.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the answer is yes. And I have shared this story with listeners. I spoke about it when I was on with Dory, where I was news director at the time, and we were under a different management regime, a different ownership. But at the time, the president of China was in Seattle, and the general manager walked in to my office, and he saw this. I had never spoken with him. I'd never had a conversation with him, even though I was news director. And he walked in, and there were other people around outside my office, but he walked in kind of trying to make some small talk, pointed to the TV and said, hey, he's in town. You're Oriental, aren't you? What
no.
are you? Japanese, Chinese?
Oh.
What are you? Just like that. And I was like taken aback a little bit, and I said, oh, I'm half Filipino. And he said, hey, you know, do you have anyone that you can? I mean, I'm sure you've got influence in the Asian community. Can you use that influence to get the president of China on our air? And I'm just looking around like, okay, I mean, we are trying, but I don't know that I have any influence over anything.
Right.
But, you know, sure, we'll try to get him on. And then he walked out. I mean, that was the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
I walked out. And two other people who actually still currently work here popped right in and said, what the heck was that? You know, and they were astounded, too. It was like, oh, my God, how ignorant. But,
yeah,
gee, I didn't do anything. I you know, in my 30 years, over 30 years here,
yeah,
I've never made a complaint to human resources. And I could have. And in that case, I should have. But in all honesty, I felt like, I mean, at that time, you know, we were having all sorts of challenges with the station, with, you know, and our newsroom that I was managing. There was a power dynamic. I wasn't in the same, you know, the level as him. And I felt like if I speak up, I could lose my job, mm-hmm. you know, that I was already facing so many challenges with. And I regret it, though. I regret that I didn't say something. I mean, that could have been an opportunity to teach him something. Like, dude,
yeah,
that is so ignorant.
Ursula, there's a lot of people that are listening that have been in these situations. We've had the Me Too movement, right? We've talked about that. So we've had a lot of extensive conversations about that. And then we've had situations where over the years where people of color are afraid to say something, or if they say something, they don't want to be, you know, as seen as a problem, or maybe they are in a corporate America situation in which they might be the only person of color. Do you guys remember?
Well, I want to hear what's happened to you.
I'm about to tell you, Ursula.
Okay.
Did you guys hear? You guys remember when the plane was stolen? Remember in 2018?
Yeah.
I was on the air at that time when the plane was stolen. So this was me first getting into news, and I was like, yo, the plane is, whoa, that's crazy. So we're talking about it and everything, talking about the plane, and we all know what happened to that plane. And anyways, that was on a Thursday or Friday or something like that. Well, on Monday, our former boss, who's not our boss anymore, and I know I always give a hard time to our bosses, even the current ones, but this was an old boss, and we're in there, and we're talking about everything that had happened that night. And he says, hey, G, in the future, in that kind of situation, I want to hear from you the urban perspective of what you see during that time. I looked at him and I said,
urban.
I said, you want the urban perspective of a plane being stolen? And he says, yeah. We definitely need the urban perspective there. Yo, I walked up out of there and I was scratching. I was even talking to myself like, so let me get this straight.
Oh, no.
What kind of different example could there be about a plane being stolen? So we open up the phone lines to you. 888-973-CHIRO is the G and Ursula Show.